we have looked at it a piece at a time. Tonight, I want to tie it all together. I'm going to take all the studies that we have made and sort of summarize them, give you a summary of all the doctrines about the King James Bible and the teachings about the King James Bible that we have had on these Wednesday nights. The first thing I want to say as I begin my summary is that there must be a final authority. Something has to be the thing that finally makes the decision. For example, taking our nation, we said the final authority is the Supreme Court. No, the final authority is supposed to be the Constitution of the United States. The big battle today about the Constitution is concerning original intent. In other words, shall we interpret the Constitution as our founding fathers meant it when they wrote it, or shall we take their words and decide what we think they mean apart from what the founding fathers had in mind? Now, there must be a final authority in our government. It's supposed to be the Constitution of the United States. Now, the same is true in the Lord's Word. What is our final authority? Now, we have several choices. Choice number one, the church. There are those who say the church is the final authority. Of course, basically, these are our Catholic friends who give the final authority to the word of the church. Then there are those who say that a man is the final authority, and that man is the Pope. Once again, this is the doctrine embraced by our Catholic friends, especially when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, it is as God speaking, and he becomes the final authority. Now, this is the first choice that we have. Now, we have a second choice, and that is human experience. In other words, shall we decide what we believe because of human experience? I believe that this is the emphasis of the charismatic movement. The fact that somebody says, I have a word of knowledge. Well, bless God, so do I. I'm holding in my hand right now the blessed word of God and words of God. But human experience is not the final authority. Certainly we have experiences with God, but those experiences must be based upon something else and not the experience itself. No doctrine should come from human experience. So we have the church as the final authority and the man as the final authority, as we have from our Catholic friends. And then we have human experience as the final authority, which is far too prevalent in the charismatic movement, of which I cannot be a part, of course. Then there is a third choice for final authority, and that is human reasoning. What seems right? Somebody says, it just doesn't seem right to me that there could be a hell with fire. Somebody said, it just doesn't seem right to me that there could be a city with golden streets and gates of pearl. So, basically, this is the position of our liberal friends. The liberal says, we will decide what seems right to us. And if needs be, we'll change the Bible to fit what we believe according to our human reasoning. Again, I say there's got to be a final authority. Somewhere, there must be a place we can go and say, the buck stops here. We've arrived at the end of the line. Here is the final decision. All right, we have as one alternative, the church. Second alternative, man. Or if you want to bundle those up, that's all right. The third alternative, human experience. The fourth alternative, human reasoning. There is a fifth alternative, and that alternative is the Word of God. The Catholics say the church or a man. The charismatics too often say human experience. The liberals say human reasoning. The fundamentalist says the final authority is the Word of God. Now that leads us to a problem. What is the Word of God? Or where are the words of God? What book holds the very words of Almighty God? Now, there are several choices, again, we have to face. There is the very popular NIV, so-called Bible. Is that the book that contains the words of God? Or is it the American Standard or the New American Standard? or the New King James, or the Revised Standard, or the Reader's Digest Condensed Version? Where is the book that contains the very words of God Almighty? I must find them. For example, in John chapter 12, there's a very interesting passage in verse 47 and verse 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. For he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, notice that now, hath one to judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now here in this passage, God says in the last day, will be judged by the word. Now of course, there's the living word and there's the written word, and both of those will be a part of the judgment in the last day. Now, if God is going to judge us by the word, or if the word is going to judge us, it would be totally unfair for us not to have the words as God gave them. It would be unfair for there to be rules that housed under some college or Hammond Baptist School, and the students don't know those rules. Or if it gave them a copy of the rules and the copy was not accurate, and we judged them or punished them according to the old rule that had been changed, or a rule we had not even explained to them. So God is duty-bound, if he is going to judge us for the book, to give us the book. So there must be some place in this world where we can find the very words of God Almighty. Now, let me make some observations about that. Number one, we have no original manuscripts. Now then, that means that the original manuscripts are not in existence today. So that cannot be our final authority today. If that be true, I have no copy of the final authority. I would have to go back and find the original manuscripts. My Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. I need and must have an every word Bible. It cannot be the original manuscripts. We don't have the original manuscripts. And if the only place we can find that every word is true Bible is the original manuscripts, then we have no Bible to preach. We have no words of God as a final authority, because our final authority is no longer here. It was lost somewhere in history. Now, second observation. We know that the words of God are available. We know that. The very famous Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven being the number of completeness in the Bible, which means the words of God are pure words. Now, when the psalmist wrote this, they already had the old parts of the Old Testament, but they didn't have those original manuscripts then. Those original manuscripts had been lost probably hundreds of years. But he said the words of the Lord are pure words. The psalmist is saying here that God's words are pure. Now that meant that the original manuscripts that were not in existence in David's day had been preserved until David's day, because he says they are, present tense, pure words. Now in verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now that means that God has promised us that the words of God, the pure words of God, would be preserved from that generation, for that matter, for every generation, or if you please, forever. I said number one, first observation, we have no original manuscripts. Number two, we do know that these words of God are available today. Number three, third observation, we know they were originally inspired. Let me say it again. originally, when God gave his words to holy men of old, and the God-breathed book was given to man, those words were inspired, or God-breathed, if you please. They were originally inspired. I said, number one, we have no original manuscripts, and so they cannot be the final authority. I said, number two, we know that the words of God are available in our generation. I said, number three, we know that these words were originally inspired. Now, what do I mean by that? The Bible says that the Word of God always was. Never was a time when the words of God didn't exist. God simply gave those words to holy men of old that already existed before there was ever a world. They always did exist and always will exist. God gave these words to holy men of old, and they placed them down word for word, and then God said, these words are inspired. Number four, we know that these inspired words have been preserved. Did you hear what I said? Original inspiration and perpetual divine preservation. God inspired his book one time and gave the words. But praise God, that same God that could give those words to men of old can also work in the lives of men in the preservation of the words that God originally gave. Consequently, original inspiration and divine preservation of the very words of God Almighty. I said, number one, first observation, we have no original manuscripts. This cannot be our final authority. Number two, we know that the words of God somewhere are available because God promised to preserve them. Number three, we know that they were originally inspired. Number four, we know that these inspired words have been preserved for us. Number five, we also know that these words have always been preserved. The scripture I read a while ago in Psalm 12:7 says they'll be preserved forever. For this generation, forever. In other words, David said, these words I'm giving to you are the words of God, and these words shall be preserved in this generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, forever. Let me be very plain now. That means that there always has been the preserved words of God. He promised to preserve them from that generation forever. Now that means that the King James Bible is not the only Bible that was ever contained those inspired words. Don't misunderstand me. I think it's the only English Bible now. But before 1611, the words of God were preserved. There are those who would say that the words of God have been preserved since 1611. And there are those who even go so far as to say that folks before 1611 weren't saved with the same method we're saved by. I want to make this very plain. From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to the last sinner that's born again before the consummation of the age, every single person who ever got saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Never has been another plan of salvation. Never will be another plan of salvation. So, there had to be the preserved words of God before 1611. Though we have them now in the English language, in our King James Bible, the preservation of the words of God did not begin in 1611. Observation number one, we have no original manuscripts. Observation number two, we know that the words of God are available. Number three, we know that they were originally inspired. Number four, we know that those inspired words that were originally inspired have been preserved. Number five, we know that the words of God have always been preserved, even before 1611. Number six, I believe that in the English language, the King James Bible is that preserved word or words of God Almighty. I hold in my hand at this very moment a King James Bible. I believe this Bible is preserved, and the words have been preserved, and that I hold in my hand the very words of Almighty God. I believe that with all of my heart. God said He'd preserve them. Now you look at all the candidates that we have for that preserved word. Which one's been blessed of God? Which one's been used in great revivals? Which one has built the greatest churches in history? Which one's been used for the greatest soul winners in history? I just believe that the King James Bible is that preserved word or words of God. Number seven, observation number seven. I believe that all the other versions in the English language are perversions. Let me make it very plain. I think that the preserved words of God are in the King James Bible. That means I think that the NIV is a perversion. The ASV is a perversion. The NASB is a perversion. The New King James is a perversion. The New Scofield is a perversion. I'm saying that if the words of God had been preserved, then two books would have to have the exact words if two books were the words of God or the Word of God. Number eight. I believe that God can likewise preserve His Word in other languages. Now, I'm not smart enough to go into this. I simply believe that the same God that can preserve His Word in the English language can preserve His Word or His words in other languages also. There are those that believe that you're not saved unless you get saved through the King James Bible. So, the honest truth is, then people that don't understand English could not be saved. I'm simply saying that I believe in the English language, the King James Bible, contains the very words of God Almighty as He preserved them. I likewise believe that God can preserve His words in other languages also. Number nine. I always use the Word of God in soul winning. John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, but that means this. It is from the Bible we find that God created the universe. It's from the Bible that we find that God gave us His Son to lift depraved man back to fellowship with God through faith in the finished work of Christ. It is in that book we find the story of Christ. Now, Jesus is the living Word, and He's the Savior. But we find of Him and hear of Him and learn of Him through the printed Word. Because of that, I always use the New Testament, Bible in soul winning. For example, I may take a New Testament soul winning and read from the Bible the plan of salvation. Or I simply may quote the plan of the Bible. I do not believe that the Bible, the book, has to be present. I won a soul to Christ last week just quoting it. I reached for my New Testament, didn't have it with me. It was in my suitcase. The suitcase was checked on the airplane. I did not have it. I simply quoted Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9-13. But I quoted the Bible. I always do that. I always use the Bible. I'm a little leery of just giving a testimony when you win a soul to Christ. So I'm not against that. I personally always use the Bible. And of course, I always use the King James Bible. It may be I have a New Testament. It may be I quote the plan from the Bible. I've even, on numerous occasions, been out soul winning. Some person said, I'm a Catholic, and I believe the Catholic Bible is true. I've just turned in the Catholic Bible to some plan of salvation verses that are word for word, like the King James Bible, and I read from those perfect words. I'm not saying the Catholic Bible is a perfect Bible, but I'm saying I read those King James words in that Catholic, from that Catholic Bible, and led the person to Christ. But to play it safe, I went ahead and quoted the plan of salvation also. It may be the same thing about the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. I've had people say to me, I believe this is the Bible. That's what I have in my house. I'll take the RSV version. I'll take some verses that are exact like the King James in that RSV version. Tell them how to be saved. Quote Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5:12, 5:8, 10, 9, 2, 13, and lead them to Christ. It may be. I'll give you an example. I went a man to Christ pointing to a rock that had Bible on it. Simply had the words, "You must be born again." That's all it said, beside the road. It was just a rock that said, "Ye must be born again." John 3:7. I used that King James passage on that rock, and then I quoted the plan of salvation and won the man to Christ. I was in a washroom at O'Hare Field recently, and looked up on the wall, and there was 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. This fellow right beside me washing his hands, and I said, "Hey, wonder what that is." He said, "That's the Bible." I said, "I'll declare. Wonder what it means." "I don't know." I said, "Would you like to know?" Right there washing my hands, I used that scripture that was on the wall and won that man to Christ. And of course, again, I went through the verses to find salvation as I quoted them. Next observation. I believe that when a person trusts any other plan of salvation other than by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I think he embraces religion. And religion without Christ makes a person, I think, more a child of the devil. Jesus said in John 8:44 to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father the devil." Now, I wouldn't argue about this. I wouldn't fuss about it. And I personally am saying that this is what I believe. But I believe a person that's not saved has no religion. He decides to trust the priest to save him. I think then he is born into religion, which I think is of the devil. "You're of your father, the devil," he said to the Pharisees. Again, I wouldn't argue about this, but I think it's important. I think a person that becomes religious is harder to get saved than a person that is not religious, because he has accepted the plan of salvation of the devil. Now, what is the devil's plan of salvation? Anything other than grace through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did. If a person trusts the sacraments, he trusts the church, the baptistry, the Lord's Supper, the denomination, the pope, the priest, the rabbi, the preacher, anything else, then that person is more difficult to win to Christ, and I believe he is born into false religion, and the devil is the author of false religion, making it more difficult to get that man saved. But I do believe he can still be born again. That's very important. I believe that man can still be born again. Next observation. I believe that it is very important that when we go soul winning, we take a Bible and use that Bible, the words of God, in soul winning. If we can't, as I said a while ago, quote it. Find it somewhere else. Find it. Put it in some other book. For example, if you had a book by Norman Vincent Peale, and God knows I have no respect for that kind of power of positive thinking and possibility thinking by Robert Schuller and all that mess, had no use for that at all. But let's suppose that I were reading a book by Norman Vincent Peale, and all of a sudden I saw John 3:16 purely written in that book. I believe I could take that verse in that book and win someone to Christ. It may be, as I said a while ago, it may be the King James Bible, where you use some of the pure words of God. It may be the King James New Testament. It may be the King James Gospel of John. It may be I just quote the King James. It may be the King James in a tract. It may be painted on a sign beside the highway. It may be in somebody's book. It may be tucked away in a Catholic Bible. It may be on the wall of a restroom in O'Hare Field. But I'll say again, regardless of where it is, I always quote Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9-13. That's 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5:12, 5:8, and 10:9-13. No matter where I get it, I always quote those verses in soul winning. You see, I believe the big battle of the 1990s is the Bible. With all my heart, I believe that. For example, we sent some of our people to certain bookstores. I'm talking about bookstores, Zondervan bookstores one, and Wheaton College bookstores another, and a few others in this area. We had them count the Bibles for sale in those bookstores. In every case, there were more NIV so-called Bibles for sale than King James Bibles. Well, bless God, we've got to fight for the Word of God and the perfect words of God originally inspired and perennially preserved, that we have a perfect book. Every word is preserved. We've got to have it that way. Let me quickly review. There must be a final authority. We have several choices. The church, or a man, as in the case of the Catholics. Human experience, as in the case of many charismatics. Human reasoning, as in the case of liberals. We must find a final authority. We believe it is the Word of God. Now then, we have to find out what is the Word of God. In what book we find the words of God? Number one, we have no original manuscripts, so they cannot be the final authority. Number two, we know that these words are available because God promised to preserve them in Psalm 12, 6, and 7. Number three, we know they were originally inspired. Number four, we know that these words that were originally inspired have been preserved word for word. Number five, we know that those words have always been preserved, even before the King James Bible of 1611. God had promised to preserve His words all the way through. Number six, I believe with all of my heart that in the English language, the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God and contains the preserved words of God. Number seven, I believe that all other English versions are perversions. Number eight, I believe that God can preserve His Word or words in other languages also. And then number nine, I always use the Bible in soul winning. And I believe that wherever that Bible is found, wherever the pure words of God are found, whether they're lost in the Catholic Bible, lost in a revised version of the Bible, sitting on a rock beside the road, on a restroom wall, in a gospel tract, in the King James Bible, in the King James New Testament, the King James Gospel of John, or quoted, I believe that those words of God are very important in the matter of soul winning. And since the Word of God is necessary for salvation, because it is from the Word of God that we even find out about Jesus, I always play it safe. Thank God. Thank God. We have the words of God preserved in the good old King James Bible. Let's preach it. Let's study it. Let's memorize it. Let's love it. Let's teach it. And let's defend it. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray this old church downtown Hammond, Indiana, shall always stand upon the preserved words of God. Thank you for the way you blessed us through these years. And now bless us as we continue to throw out the lifeline and the salvation through Christ as found in these blessed words, pure words, preserved unto all generations. Amen.